Y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. We are your hosts, Chris.
And Jonathan.
Yeah, so I'm in the process of changing the intro a bit, changing the song up. It's like every 2 months, I'm like, all right, I'm ready for a new song.
For sure, for sure.
Y'all will probably hear that one on this joint.
For sure.
So
that's what's happening.
Hope y'all have had a good week so far.
Mm-hmm.
Things have been looking interesting, man.
Things have been looking quite interesting. And for all of y'all in fantasy land, we all know it's the playoff week.
Yeah.
And so good luck to everybody out there. For those of y'all who look championship bound, good luck in the championship. For those of y'all who not, good luck. Yeah. Better luck next year.
And that's real.
Just be pissed off and just let it go after a few days. I give you a few days to be pissed off. After that, just let it go.
Yeah, I have all my lineups are set, but I ain't really checked nothing. I'm just like, ain't nothing happening. I ain't in the playoffs and I'm not close to winning, and it's just.
And for those of y'all who just happened to have Jamal Charles today, my God, he either won you your games or he lost. He made you lose, because 5 touchdowns up to this point. He may score 6-7 of them. I don't know. I hope he does, because he's on my team. Let's go. Championship bound.
Oh, yeah. It's been like that. And, of course, it's the holiday season.
Yes, sir.
You know, everybody trying to get their gifts. Mm-hmm. I got mine done for my son. Trying to get him some good stuff early. Hey,
just a note for y'all, online shopping. Don't wait in lines. I know that's what I'm doing, online shopping.
Yeah, it is online deals.
You ain't got to wait in lines. You can be at home just chilling and shopping. Yep, that's the way to go.
Lines be crazy. This is when people fighting.
Yep.
You know, for what's it? Xbox Ones and...
I'd rather just wait till the price goes down.
Towels at Walmart.
Exactly. I'd rather just wait for the price to drop and call it a day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to get into some good sports, y'all. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a lot going on in Los Angeles. So if y'all want to chime in on anything we got to say, give us your opinions, email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to let us know, critiques, anything of that nature, hit us up. We'll definitely get back at you. We'd love to mention you on the show. If you got any joints you want to hear on the show, let us know.
Anyway, about in Los Angeles, man, it has been Hollywood Laker time. You know, him, as Jonathan said last week, him is back. You know, they finally got that W, you know, over the Bobcats. But, you know, what you think of Kobe Bryant so far?
You know what? He's been what I expected. He's doing... okay. He's not fantastic. He is turning the ball over a lot.
Yeah.
He's being asked to basically run point guard now. But I mean, let's be real. Kobe was running point guard for the last 15 years. He always gets the ball in the backcourt, brings it up, and facilitates. He's been running point forever.
Basically.
So this ain't no change. I mean, the only real difference is now he's, I guess, looking to pass more as opposed to shooting. I saw the other day he took like 8 shots. I'm like, wow, that's all he taking? Okay. But, you know, they won, finally. I was waiting for it. I was like, okay, Kobe's not going to let these fools just go in a continuous losing streak. At some point, they're going to win. So, they did. They pulled out a win against the Bobcats of all teams. I mean, eked out a win. But you know what? A W is a W. Don't matter how you get it. So, congrats to them for breaking that losing streak. And, you know... this is what we expected them to be. They're a mediocre team at best. They're not that good.
Wow.
And seriously. And for Laker fans who expected Kobe to come back and just turn things around for the franchise, that's just wishful thinking. That just ain't going to happen.
Right. Are you fighting for one of the lower seeds? Yes.
Yeah,
you basically
eight.
Are.
The eight. That's the seed you're fighting for. You ain't getting one through seven, but, period.
Yeah, and like I said, this has basically been a 10 teams going over 500, and that's how it is right now. The West is just all of that. You know, they got their own drama. Right, Kobe has looked, you know, all right. I mean, I'm waiting to see what happens when he gets to, like, after the All-Star break and when right. I can really see, you know, what's up. Of course, we know we're getting voted in.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, but losing Blake is going to hurt a lot.
Especially for that length of time. That's going to really
hurt. Them folks who were shitting on Blake the last few years, it's like last year when he came back, your season turned around. And now this year, you're like, God damn.
Yeah. They hit the injury bug,
three
man.
Point guards all hurt.
That's a shame, no man. No Nash, no Blake.
No Farmar.
Ugh. There's talks of them in talks, let me not jump to conclusions. They have spoken with New York in regards to Iman Shumpert. I mean, I guess you got Kobe playing a point guard. Why not get a two guard to play next to him? I don't see how Iman Shumpert's really going to change much in the franchise. I guess you need a young athlete. They need athletes, so I don't know. Whatever.
It's yeah, that's a long-term thing. That wouldn't be for this year because we already, you know, supposedly they've also had a separate talks about Tyson Chandler of, you know, at least doing some digging, see what's that worth.
Well, you know, I have heard that if they trade Tyson Chandler, they want the other team to take on J.R. Smith's contract too, which I'm like, didn't y'all just sign him in the summer?
Yeah, don't you?
It ain't even been like 6 months, and y'all already trying to deal this fool.
Don't you love?
God, this is what we were talking about on the last one. This is what we were talking about on the last one. I'm gonna pay this fool $18 million over 3 years. Oh, I don't want him no more. I need to get rid of him. Of course, nobody's gonna take the contract.
Everybody was like, "You shouldn't sign him, and not for that much." Yeah, now you got to love when teams do that, where they sign the guy and then come December, we shopping him. Like, why did you sign him then?
What we were talking about. And I guess since they were packaged, if he's traded, his brother got to go too.
That's how they want it. Or they'll just, once J.R. Smith's gone, we waving him.
We waving him. And I swear, if they do that, I feel bad for the kid, but I'm just like, we told you. The worst player in the league. That's just how it goes.
These two, of course, it's got to be the two biggest cities that have a lot of this gossip going on. All right, Pau Gasol called the hell out by D'Antoni again.
Cold by D'Antoni. I heard it when it broke on the radio on ESPN. I was just like, did he just say that? They were like, Ramona, repeat that? I was like, yeah, Ramona, repeat that, because I'm going to make sure I heard him correctly. Wow. He knows where to find the bank, though, to cash that check.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You know, he don't give an effort. You know, Gasol, like, when they give me the ball in the post where I want to work, things go well. But they be wanting me to shoot jumpers.
And D'Antoni basically said, that's not my style. Shut up and play. Yeah. I mean, we've all known and we all know Powell ain't a fit for D'Antoni's system. He just not. Unless he's playing the center position and the ball just goes through him constantly, he ain't at the four, that ain't working. And I guess at the five, it ain't working either. So, I guess, like I said last time, I expect them to be shipped before the trading deadline. Everybody's expecting it now, too. We got the friction between coach and player now. It's out in the open, in the public. So, at some point, something's got to give. And D'Antoni ain't getting fired and let go. So, they're trading Powell.
Yeah, they went through all that. Mm-hmm. And for Powell's sake, he's probably the one player that's been the most effective since Phil Jackson left.
Yep.
Phil Jackson actually featured him as the number two guy. You know, Phil Jackson leave, Mike Brown coaches, you know, gets Andrew Bynum when Andrew Bynum has his greatest season ever, which probably that's going to be it. And then D'Antoni comes in, you know, he gets Dwight Howard. We already know he don't like bigs like that. He likes bigs who can shoot.
Yep. Channing Frye, prime example.
He don't like post bigs. He don't like bigs who get in the post and want to do that dirty work.
Nope.
So that was like, wow, you called his ass out.
Oh, man. So
he's shoppable.
Be wary, Laker fans, because your team is probably going to get worse.
Right. Well,
depending on what you get. I mean, me personally, I think Powell goes somewhere else. I think Powell's going to ball. That's just my personal opinion. I think in a different system somewhere else with a fresh start, he will beast. That's just my opinion. So don't be surprised. Pal get traded. He starts putting up 20 and 10. Like, what the hell happened? It it happens. Different systems work for different players.
Five or some assists, and they're leaning on them more than
yeah. It's like Channing Frye is a great fit for Mike D'Antoni's system. He is not a great fit for like a Greg Popovich type system. Like that, it just don't work that way.
He might be riding the bench. We got one. Like, his name is Matt Bonner.
Exactly. That's what you do. You ride in pond. You'll come in and shoot some threes occasionally. So it depends. System will work for different players. But I wish the best for Powell. I like Powell. He's, for the most part, kept his mouth shut. And not really. I mean, because Powell has had. I give credit to Powell. Powell has had an opportunity to come out and just lash. And just be like, this is some fast fucking bullshit out here. But he has kept his mouth shut. He's played by the rules. And I'm after like 2-3 years, yeah, I'm sure at this point he's pretty frustrated. Yeah, and it's just starting to now, it's seeping out. And he just can't help himself.
He came to the team. He got traded there. Y'all go to 3 straight finals. You know, he gets shitted on for getting Garnett basically punking him.
Yep.
Which Garnett was the better player, was the better forward. And he came back, got 2 rings. You know, Andrew Bynum was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Lamar Odom, so he was your big. And then after that, it's like, oh, and then we don't really feel you. You know, you too soft. And granted, yes, he has not played up expectations this year. When Kobe was out, I expected him to be putting up 20 and 10.
Yeah.
Like, look, you are the guy. You are the best scorer on the team. You should be putting up 20 and 10. With no Kobe Bryant, and it's just you, no Steve Nash, no...
But that's my thing. It's the system. Because I'm like, dude, he's chucking up threes all day. Well, not him, but the team. I mean, they're shooting threes. Nick Young don't pass the ball. You don't have a point guard now, so there's really nobody to facilitate the ball to him. He's upset and frustrated. So, I mean, I can – and then it came out where I guess he didn't say he wanted to get traded to Memphis, but he was like, you know, it'd be cool to play in Memphis with my brother – you know, but I'm a Laker right now, and I'm just focused on right here and now. Oh, he wants to go to Memphis. It's like, no, he didn't say that. He said it'd be cool to play with his brother.
He wants to play in Los Angeles, but he knows Los Angeles does not want him on their team.
Exactly.
And are not going to pay him what he feels he wants to get paid. Period. So it's just, do you use the cap space? Because he is basically, you a need him to be your number space. 3. He's not getting $19 million. Y'all don't even want to give him 12.
No.
You'd be like, take $10
million. Take 5.
All the money that we said Kobe should have taken, you take. Take that deal because you're not the other max guy.
Yep.
So they got
problems.
Yeah, they got all that drama. And yeah, and then the Knicks, between this trade rumor of Melo to the Clippers. I have heard that
talk. I haven't heard about that one, but that's an interesting one to me. For what? For Blake Griffin?
Yes, Blake Griffin.
Okay, for Blake Griffin to be this good, or to be quote-unquote that good, he sure is floating a lot of trade rumors. So I'm just like, he's good, but I mean, he's a highlight guy. Let's be honest. He's a dunker. As far as the other aspects of the game, he's pretty good. I mean, but he's not great when it comes to certain things. So I mean, and coming to, that's just, for me, I don't like Melo playing with a guy like a Chris Paul. Like, to me, that I know they want to play together, but Chris Paul is a guy who dominates the ball, clearly. I mean, he leads the league in assists, so he always has the ball in his hands. I know he likes to set up guys, but he gets his too. And I think just Melo and this kind of shoot-first attitude, I just don't see it meshing well. It's. I mean, you can be cool, you can be boys or whatever, but as far as playing style and playing together,
he would have to buy in and just be like, Paul is running the show. I mean, even at this point, if that happened, it's like you coming to the Clippers. It's Chris Paul's team. It's not your team. You ain't going to the Knicks being the. This is not you coming in and taking over for Amari Stoudemire. And with Stoudemire, I heard he knew he was like,
yeah,
I knew the aura of Carmelo Anthony, and I was basically the number 2 guy. Fine, I'll deal with it. I ain't going to complain, which he hasn't.
Yep. He's been a good citizen for all the crap he's
taken.
And
he actually has played. He hadn't played too bad, like this last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so getting the minutes they need. But, yeah, I saw that on the Bleacher Report.
Not sure.
You could, you know, Carmelo. Well, they said money wise, Anthony and Shumpert, Griffin, Dudley, and Hollins. But I think that's just him looking at what can be done. But clearly, you throwing in Carmelo, and they're gonna want
and Shumpert.
But I mean, if you swapping Carmelo and
that's
Griffin,
a lot. That's a lot. And Shumpert, you getting basically both their best players.
The problem with that with the. The Knicks is like, okay, now you have like no
who do you have?
Wing scoring. Basically, J.R. Smith gets to go nuts.
It's time to put in his brother. Let him go.
They got no Ray Felton been underperforming. It's
they talking about trading him to get Kyle Lowry. I'm like, oh, for what?
Because he's in an expiring contract.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Because he's probably a better point. Which he, I think he is a better
so
point
now
guard.
You're back, basically back at square one trying to get under the cap again.
You've done,
they do this you've every done time. They do this every time. I hate the Knicks. Dolan gets on my nerves.
You overspend.
He is so stupid. Golly.
And I remember hearing about the Miami Heat trying to look at getting some moves, some backcourt help with Wade. You know, basically you saving Wade for the playoffs. Yes, yeah. We know that.
Yeah. I mean, I can't blame him. D Wade, his knees have been balky the last few years. We don't know how he'll hold up in the playoffs. We all know they're holding him for it, but we don't know how his knees will hold up. So, yeah, they need some help.
Yeah, like Shane Battier, you know, he's four. He plays for the post. They are postseason built. Their role players are all postseason built.
Yep.
No, I guess North Korea ain't doing enough. Yeah, I mean,
that's why they're boring right now. Like, to me, they're boring right now. There's nothing exciting about Miami right this point. They're just cruising along. We all know they're going to get the number one or number two seed, depending on what happens with Indiana. I mean, and besides that, when it comes to playoff time, I mean, that's when it's going to get, okay, here we go, finally. But until that point, I don't care what Miami's doing. They're boring right now. I don't care.
Yeah, they're not giving maximum effort.
Nobody cares if they lose. Nobody cares if they win,
personally.
We've
seen this the last, since they've been together. They come out the box, but then by the end of the season, they're winning almost 60, around 60-ish games and
you're like, whatever.
One of the top two seeds in the East.
Seen it before. Like a movie you've seen 1,000 times. I've seen it already. It doesn't excite me anymore.
You know, so that Pacers beat them, though. And they were like, that whole thing about, you know, is it a big deal to beat the Heat? You know what? I didn't like that on the sense that if Miami beats Indiana, oh, they're not ready.
Yep.
I don't think they met. I don't know if they really want it. Blah, blah, blah. Pacers beat them. Well, it's just December, so that doesn't really matter. Like, that's not fair.
And as a Bulls fan, I hear that crap, too. When the Bulls would beat them in, do the Bulls know the formula? It's like, everybody knows the formula.
If you go in to meet them in the playoffs and you say, well, Pacers have lost to them 3-1 during the regular season, I have my doubts. But if you go in there and you win up 3-1, you should be like, okay, well, they've played them well, so maybe there's a formula to their success.
But, I mean, for me, there's nothing new there. We've seen them battle before. We've seen this before. And we've seen Indiana push Miami to the limit. So, I mean, we all know Indiana can beat Miami. Mm-hmm. It's not a secret. And, I mean, they have what you need to beat them, which is Borden.
Right.
They got a big dude, and they got a quality point guard, and they got they got an all-star, too, in Paul George, who was just beasting.
They're basically good on both ends of the floor.
Excellent.
And this is what championship teams do. This is how you get to that level.
Mm-hmm.
You play a team, I can't get over the hump, I'm getting close, I'm tasting it. And then if they win this year, it's like, dude, you've been working for it.
Yep.
You know, nobody comes in and just wins, I guess, unless you're Magic or Bird, or Tim Duncan.
Exactly.
You just come in 3 years in the league, I got a championship. But, you know, that's rare. The same crap Indiana went through, the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan went through. You get close, I can't win, I'm frustrated.
Yep.
I can taste it. Well, this is that process. You know, Paul George is ready.
Yep.
MVP. I can't put him as a superstar yet, but he's
almost there.
Yeah, he's knocking on that door.
He is almost there.
I just need to see him. If he does it in the playoffs, we'll see what's up.
We'll see what happens.
But yeah, they wrecking shop and they want it. So with Doc Rivers, we're talking about the Clippers. Nice standing ovation.
You know what? That is what you like to see. I mean, it's fine for a competition, you know, and you want to boo guys. But I'm like, when they first announced the dude, you should give him an ovation. I mean, especially a guy like a Doc Rivers. humble guy, very courteous, kind dude, brought them championships, and, you know, added to the legend, to the legacy of the Boston Celtics. So, I mean, for the Boston, and I mean those Boston, let's be real, those Boston Celtics fans, those are fans. They are fans.
They love their squad.
They love their Celtics. So, I mean, I know they appreciated what he did. Those are the moments you like to see. Once the game time starts, you can boo him all you want. But in that moment, when they announce him first and foremost, when he comes out, yes, he deserved that ovation. Definitely.
No, I feel like it was good to see. He was getting choked up. I mean, he brought a lot to that. He brought back
basically. Because I remember they were ass for a while. They were terrible. They lost like 20-something straight. It was just like, God, they're bad. But then you get Rondo, made the big splash, and got KG and them to get with Paul Pierce. And he made it happen.
Yeah.
He made it happen.
Almost got two of them joints.
Yep. So, I mean, he deserves it.
Yeah, he's bringing something good to the Clippers.
He's a classy dude. He's a classy guy.
He is that. So, he deserved it. I'm happy for him. And hopefully the Clippers get some of that swagger. It may not be this year, but with all that talk going on.
Exactly.
Oh, let me ask you, since we were talking about Kobe Bryant. You heard about that comments with him and Jim Brown, right?
Yes.
What's your take on that? Because you heard...
I heard Jim Brown.
And you saw Kobe's tweet back.
And it was just... It's a weird situation because I'm like, you have Jim Brown. Okay. You got Jim Brown, who is an old school cat, you know, had the whole situation when it was him and Muhammad Ali and, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Very outspoken guy.
You know, very outspoken people standing up for their culture and whatnot. And, you know, he grew up in the time when Martin Luther King was alive and he broke, you know, did his thing in Cleveland where we all know, you know, back in those days, they weren't the nicest to black folks. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get his point and I understand where he's coming from. But at the same time, I'm like, we are in a whole different generation now. We are in a time now where you can get your statement out multitude of ways. Mm-hmm. Whereas back in the day, you had to do what they did in order to get your point out there. Because otherwise, ain't nobody going to take you seriously and nobody's going to listen to you. But I'm like, we're in a time now, you got the Twitter, the Facebook, and all this stuff where people can express themselves and express their opinions freely and, you know, to say whatever the hell they want and get their points out there. Some are taken seriously, some are not. But I mean, Jim Brown has to understand that the times have changed. I think he's kind of, in a sense, stuck in the old times.
Yeah, it came off a little. It's a topic I do want to bring up to the fam at the Black is Break. This whole like, oh well, he grew up in Spain,
in Italy, so he don't know the black struggle.
Yeah,
it's like, are you kidding me, dude?
Like, part of that, I don't like that because I'm like, all right, if you grew up in the black struggle, whatever he's defining it as, and you become famous and rich, can I shit on your kids for not growing up in it? Can I use that same? You didn't grow up in the struggle. Your daddy rich. You ain't had anything you wanted, you got.
And that was my thing. I'm like, so are you saying the black kids who grew up in the suburbs, they don't know about it either?
Right. Or even if it's America, I'm like, I get that it's, if you want to say less racist or whatever that, how you want to define it, maybe overseas.
Mm-hmm.
But from my understanding, black people of all cultures get crapped on everywhere.
Yeah, regardless. No. I'm like, dude, black people aren't well spoken about in Africa.
You know, we already seen, you know, rest in peace, Nelson
Mandela.
We're
supposed to be our home, our motherland. I'm like, they don't like us either. Right.
And you have the white side of Africa that sometimes don't like, you know, the
racism is everywhere. Mm-hmm. Prejudice is everywhere. And I mean, it's not just black people either. It's a whole multitude of different cultures that are shitted on and, you know?
Right. But I mean, if his argument is, if I'm going to do that kind of thing to speak up, would I get him? I was like, I wouldn't think of him as, there's very few athletes who I would who I can name who would be like, if I need some athletes to really speak up, who I think would say, you know what, F everything I got right now, I'm calling it as I see it. There ain't many of them at all.
There ain't a lot of them.
Right. And you say, well, I wouldn't Kobe. I don't know if I'd ask LeBron James. I don't know if I'd ask all, you know.
And my thing is, and that's why I get back to the whole generation, because I'm just like, dude, plus, I'm like, you guys played at a time where y'all weren't getting paid basically anything. There were no endorsements. Basically, a lot of these players who were playing had to play in the league and work another job to make ends meet. You're at a time now, cats are getting million-dollar contracts, millions on millions, and it's like they're not – for them to say, yeah, I'm just going to give up all of this, you know, for – heck no. I don't know anybody in their right mind who would just say, nope, I'm giving up this hundred-some-odd million, and I'm going with the struggle. It ain't a lot of them out there. It ain't a lot of them out there. So, and I'm like, we are at a time now where the racism isn't – it's still there. Mm-hmm. It's not as bad as it was back then, right, per se.
You can actually do – you can do more.
Yeah, you can do a lot more now.
The things that have been in place to keep minorities down – that's still there.
Yeah.
But as far as the outside of being able to, you can do more. They just not let you gonna do the necessity things
exactly
to get full control.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know we got all deep, but that's all gravy. You know, so yeah, he, that was a little much for me. It was like, and the audience was like,
It was weird. It was kind of like, okay.
You know, he snitched on Shaq. I'm like, whatever. Wow, dude. It's been a minute.
I'm not the biggest Kobe fan either, but I'm not just going around just crapping on
this.
Yeah,
did he snitch on Shaq? Yeah, and he got called out for that. But yeah. I wasn't like, why? I thought it was, you don't. Okay, so you just got turned off then. When that happened, you were like, oh,
yeah, I'm not fucking with him. Kobe.
And if you ain't, a lot of people felt that way. Yeah. It was just shocking to you to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy Gay. Does nobody like want him?
I like it. You know what? I like the trade for the Kings. They're really building something down there. They basically did two things. They added a perimeter scorer, Rudy Gay, and you cleared the way for Isaiah Thomas to start at point guard. So now you got DeMarcus Cousins. You got Derek Williams, who's eventually going to start at the four. You got Rudy Gay.
He's playing well.
You got Isaiah Thomas. They're trying to build something there. They have a nice set, a core set of starters. Now it's just kind of, you know, filling out the role players. You still got Marcus Thornton. Jimmy Fredette, I hear, is on the block.
He's been on the block. Because he ain't getting re-signed. He's going to be a free agent.
Exactly. So they're doing some good things. I like what I'm seeing. Rudy Gay came out his first game, shot very efficient, did really well. And, you know, unfortunately, they did lose. But they're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, it seems like for the Kings right now, you got – DeMarcus Cousins is the guy. Yep. You got Rudy Gay. And to fill that out, you got Bam Nakamura, you just drafted. Isaiah Thomas has been solid since he came in the league. Has been way better than his draft stock.
Second round pick.
Mm-hmm. And then Derek Williams. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the little core of guys they want to see what, you know, how they can build with that core. Of course, Marcus Thornton probably off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Sammons will probably be gone. Jason Thompson has not been. You just got to ship off them.
Yeah.
Them team first round picks that haven't done nothing. And for Toronto, looked like Masai was just like, yeah, let's clean this up.
Yeah, let's just start over. We're starting over. I heard everybody's available except for Vucevicevic or whatever his name. I don't know.
Maybe DeRozan. Maybe.
Maybe. He's playing pretty well, though, so I don't see him giving him up.
Not for nothing.
Not for peanuts.
He was like, yeah, I heard he, you know, Rudy Gay has that $19 million player option, and they didn't want to pay it, and exactly. They didn't want to lose him for nothing either.
He taking it. We all know he opting in that one.
Yeah, you ain't. Especially the way this new CBA is.
Yep. He's like, heck yeah, I'm opting in that. Yeah. You daggum right.
I'm taking that 19.
I don't know what he's waiting for. Just opt in now.
Nah, he's going to play it out. We know what's coming.
I mean, the only way I could see him not doing it is possibly if the Kings agree to sign him to a long-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing other than that.
I'm trying to think what y'all gave up.
They gave up John Sammons, Vasquez, Grievous Vasquez, and... Nothing, basically. They didn't really give up much. So, hey, that worked out for them.
No, that was nice. I mean, you know, yeah, Toronto's just clearing cap. Everybody wants to clear space.
Clear that space.
Hey, and our last thing is on this whole quote-unquote tanking. I have a weird thing when I consider tanking in the NBA because, like, I don't consider Utah tanking because I'm like, hey, we got young guys.
I don't consider Philly tanking.
No. They're just like.
I don't consider Charlotte tanking. Right. They dished out money to Al Jefferson.
Charlotte ain't tanking.
Yeah, I mean, to me,
you go and clear the cap space to be like, look, there's clearly some talent,
exactly,
in this draft,
and that's the key. Right,
some high quality ball players. Even though Jim Boeheim don't think there's any franchise players out of this group, but besides that, there's guys that you know are some real studs coming in a high point of this draft. So let's see what the young guys we have, and let's see what they do. Like, yes, I don't expect to win many games, but that doesn't mean, like, I only want to win 10 games.
But my thing is, look, tank. For those of y'all who define tanking, for me, tanking is, okay, I'm trading off everybody, and I'm getting nothing but, like, undrafted cats.
Right.
That's tanking, where you just know your talent is you have none. I'm like, most of the dudes in the NBA who are starting, even on the Sarri's teams, are talented players. And a lot of them are like top 10 picks, top 5 picks. So I'm like, it's not like these cats don't have talent. The other teams are just better than them, period.
Yeah, a lot of these guys don't pan out.
Thank you. I mean, Charlotte is the prime example. I'm like, you have Kemba Walker. He's been okay. But you have Bismack Biyombo. He ain't done nothing. You sign Al Jefferson. He's been okay. He's been playing well as of late. But
DJ,
I mean,
Augustine DJ, instead of Brooke Lopez,
who's a Bull now. Great, but I mean, and like Milwaukee, John Henson is talented. You know, you have some piece. Ilyasova has some game. You got Brandon Knight who has some game. I mean, their team is just terrible. Yeah. I mean, that's just what it is. Right. It's not like they don't have talent. They just suck,
and they just feel like these these top five or six guys are actually legit stars. And, you know, yes, we'll be bad in this draft.
But I don't see you. I can't see dudes just like, yeah, I'm not going to play hard at all.
Yeah, because if you say a team that was expected to be bad, like, all right, honestly, with the way the East is, say the Celtics end up making the playoffs as like an AC.
Mm-hmm.
I guess on one hand, you can say, oh, they was trying to suck. Now they're not going to get another piece. But sometimes there is nothing wrong with getting some for real playoff experience.
Not at all. And I'm like, you have to realize these dudes are playing for a contract. It's not like they're just playing just to play. They're trying to get paid. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're going to play hard because they want to play well because they want that money.
Right. And that, at least, hey, in the playoffs, you will know who can and cannot play.
Thank you.
And who you should keep and who you shouldn't keep.
So, you know, like,
no, that's what the Lakers hoping for.
So, are the Lakers tanking?
If they trade Pau Gasol within the next 10 days.
Everybody going to be like, oh, they tanking.
Yep.
Tanking would be you trade Kobe also. That's tanking. Yeesh. If you trade Powell and Kobe, yeah, then I'd be like, yeah, the Lakers are tanking. The Lakers are fucking tanking.
If they hadn't signed Kobe to no extension, then I'd be like, yeah, they tanking.
But
my team be tanking.
Whatever, man.
So we're going to come back. We're going to talk some NFL. Been a great Sunday, y'all.
Yep.
Y'all listen to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. I'm not Welcome back, y'all, to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. Y'all want to hit us up? Let us know what you're thinking. 323-455-4219 on Twitter at Brothers Lehman. Via email, thebrotherslehman@gmail.com.
Yeah, hit us up. Let us know so we can get back at you.
Holla. Man, football is getting tight.
It's getting great. Mm. Unfortunately, my team lost, but.
Yeah, that's how the week started off. Thursday game, everybody like, that's what all y'all was saying. Oh, we got San Diego, come on. We got this.
And yeah.
Got that L.
Yeah, we got that. We got our butts kicked. I mean, to be honest with you, it was kind of funny because I'm talking all this smack. And then as I'm watching the game, I'm kind of not, I wasn't energetic about the game. I was just kind of like, just get it over with, I guess. Seriously, because it was like we clinched the playoffs, you know, had a big win and whatnot, and it was just like, all right, fine. We dropped 51 points on Tennessee. It was like, all right, cool, we living well, you know, and then it was like, all right, we play San Diego Thursday. I was like, okay, you know, whatever. And it was San Diego won, but I watched the clips of them interviewing the Bronco players leading up to the game, and even they were kind of like, we really don't like the Thursday night games. You know, we don't get much time to kind of get into the flow of things. Kind of disrupts the rhythm of things. So, you know, we really don't care for it. And they played like it. They played like they really didn't want to play. They didn't really care. The offense barely was on the field.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was one of those games. I was upset they lost, but at the same time, I was just kind of like, you know, whatever. They'll bounce back. I'm not tripping.
No, it says it in the stats, you know, the 2-9 on third down.
They couldn't run the ball.
Outrushed 177-18.
Couldn't run the ball. Couldn't pass the ball.
Time of possession, only 21 minutes to almost 40 minutes for the Chargers.
That's what I'm saying. Chargers did what you were supposed to do with these elite quarterbacks, which is keep their asses off the field. And that's exactly what they did with Peyton. Threw off his rhythm. They couldn't get anything going on offense. And they just kept running the freaking ball. And Denver's defense was terrible on the run. And just,
on
God,
damn.
3-12 men on the field calls. Like, are you kidding me? And then you had an offsides on a punt. And it was just so sloppy. It was sloppy and ugly. I'm sure with the time off now, they get some time to relax, get their bodies fresh.
Yeah, early week.
I'm sure they're a little hyped with the fact that the Patriots lost, so they get to, you know, they're still in the hunt for that bye and home field advantage. But, you know, with Kansas City looking like they're about to win today, granted they have the tiebreaker, but we definitely have to win these last two games. So the urgency needs to go up.
Yes, because everybody says, y'all not going on playing Foxborough in the cold.
Here's my thing with the whole Peyton Manning in the cold thing. Okay, I understand he played in Indy all those years and he was bad in the cold. I'm like, he moved to Denver where it's always cold. So it's not like the full, they practice, I see the clips, they practice in the snow all the time. At least half the season in football season, they're practicing in snow. Right. So I'm like, to me, the weather isn't an issue. And we clearly saw last week against Tennessee when he dropped 51 points and it was cold as ice. The cold wasn't a problem. I'm like, Bill Belichick and New England have Peyton's number. They just do. They do. They know. They just do. Bill Belichick just got his number. He just knows what to do against Peyton. So, yeah, I would rather take my chances at home as opposed to going to Bill Belichick's house. Come to Peyton's home.
Yeah, that's what's up. Y'all did get bailed out because.
Thank God.
Miami Dolphins. Whew. That Gronk injury hurting.
Big time. We all asked how everybody was like, oh, they were 5-2 without Gronk start season and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, clearly they still miss him.
Yeah.
I'm like, everybody made it a point like, well, they were 5-whatever. I'm like, do you realize how many close games y'all barely squeaked out? It's not like y'all won 5-1 just dominating teams without him. Y'all barely eked out wins. Today, Tom Brady didn't have the magic at the end. threw the pick to end the game, and then that's all she wrote. So, you know, sometimes he got it, sometimes he don't. And this is why it's kind of scary being a New England fan, because I'm like, all their games have seemed like they've come down to a touchdown to win. So I'm like,
no pass interference calls to help you out.
So they miss Gronk. They're definitely going to miss Gronk, because now teams are going to do what the Dolphins did, which is seek out Shane Vereen and take his butt out of the game. And it's like, use your other receivers since all of them hurt.
Yeah, but you don't trust them all yet.
Oh, and they got another one hurt today. Josh Boyce hurt. So that's another receiver down for Tom Brady. Like,
yeah, and their defense has already been banged up.
Yep. So all this talk about New England going to the Super Bowl and all that, it's like they're playing a lot of close games. So,
hey, and the Dolphins, man, they trying to get in the playoffs.
A lot of these AFC teams is trying to get in the playoffs.
It's muddled, man. Every AFC team has some kind of issue. There's no, like, standout, like, oh, this team is just by far going to win. You're like, nope, it is a crap shoot. And I think if, you know, some team comes in the playoffs hot, be careful.
Yeah. I mean, the only team that you really are just like, yeah, they probably going to Super Bowl is Seattle. Chalk them up a bus ride to the Super Bowl, because, damn it, can't nobody beat them. 23-0. I said zero, as in no points for the Giants. None. Are you kidding me? 5 interceptions by Eli? 5 interceptions, Eli? Come on, dude. Oh, man. You looking worse than Geno Smith.
He has been ass this season.
Oh, been one Peyton, one Manning brother, and then you got the other one way down here, the other Manning brother.
I mean, this is part of the reason why people were not
sold on Eli.
Yeah, to put him up as he an elite quarterback. He's like,
he got the rings, but
I don't know. He's coming in clutch.
He is going to be remembered basically as the equivalent of like Trent Dilfer winning the Super Bowl with the Ravens. Like, yeah, he led them to the Super Bowl win, but he was an okay quarterback. Yeah, he wasn't great.
Right. He's come up in big moments.
Yeah, he's made the plays when he's needed to. Yeah,
he is an above average quarterback. Well, yeah. And he is a top 10 quarterback. But he is not I don't have anybody but myself to make plays. Yeah. I'm going to make them.
He is not a guy that can carry the team.
He needs a defense, which is how they won. Mm-hmm. Great pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, solid running. And he just made plays. You know, Victor Cruz had a concussion, got slammed on the ground.
And this just in, folks. Dallas may actually lose this game.
What?
It is now, at the 2-minute warning, it's 36-31, Dallas. Green Bay now has the ball. So,
We
always say, you always hear, Dallas just finds a way to lose. Looks like they're about to do it again. If Dallas loses this game, whatever. I can't even speak on Dallas anymore.
I'm looking at it right now.
It's embarrassing.
They went 26-3 in the half, and they've given up 4 touchdowns.
And Green Bay's marching down the field, and they are about to score. They on the 21 of Dallas.
If Dallas blows this after Philly done lost.
Ugh. See, and here it comes.
48 points, Eagles? Damn.
And
48-30.
It's that Monty Kiffin defense at its best again. Giving up yardage to Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn is shredding Dallas's defense. Jerry Jones, why are you giving endorsements to Monty Kiffin when his defense is so garbage? I know Denver's D is weak. Dallas's defense is terrible. Matt Flynn has been cut twice this year. And he's dropping bombs on him. Are you
No, you got embarrassed on Monday night. Like, let Josh McGowan get 5 touchdowns.
5 touchdowns!
To where people were like, we don't need Jacob. Let's just have Matt Flynn. Like, all right, slow down.
Oh, man. So, I mean, but you saw that the locker room, of course, was like, of course Jay Cutler's the starting quarterback. Clearly Jay Cutler's the starting quarterback. I mean, let's be honest. In terms of talent, yes, Jay Cutler's superior to Josh McCown. There's no question about that. So, I mean.
But it is hard nowadays, that whole, I mean, unless you're in the Big Four, I mean, if you want to throw Roethlisberger in there, you can. But that Big Four, if they hurt, when they come back and are ready, they getting their job. Yeah. Them four, for sure, 100%, I'm not arguing the point at all.
Nope.
Everybody else?
Yeah, you're up for debate.
If the backup quarterback has won like five in a row. He hot. I'm not touching him at all. I'm not touching it. If he doesn't play well, even if they win, if they don't play well, okay, I think we ready. But it's like,
they were able to squeak it out today. They were able to squeak it out.
Alshon Jeffrey, man. I still got to watch that, but I heard about that. That's sick.
He's a beast, man. He makes some unbelievable catches. Saw that catch he made against Dallas in the corner. That was stupid. I was just like, there's no way.
How did you even push that dude out? As soon as I'm falling in front of him, like, oh, I'm falling backwards. That way, even if you catch it, oh, you out of bounds.
Oh, hell man. No. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy, but the kid got skills. Kid got skills.
Hey, man, they got some. They are dangerous 1-2 combo.
They are. They really are. They finally got somebody opposite Brandon Marshall now who can step up and ball. So,
yeah. Matt Forte healthy.
Woo, look out for Chicago in the playoff, huh? Mm-hmm. Look out for them.
They trying. I don't know what Detroit going to bring tomorrow.
They better freaking do something. They've
been
Matt,
choking.
Choking is an understatement. And speaking of the backup quarterback issue, Washington, RG3, no more. Hey, Kirk Cousins looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He looked pretty good today. I know there's all this talk, oh, we're just playing with Shopham. Fine. If you want to play that route, go ahead. But I'm going to tell you this. The man can play, clearly. I mean, we saw when he filled in for RG3 last year. I mean, he has skills. Right.
I mean, he took.
He clearly can play.
You drafted him. I mean, Mike Shanahan felt like even when he drafted RG3, I'm going to draft this dude because he clearly got some talent.
And we see again today. I mean, he clearly has some talent. He did throw three picks, but, I mean, he had three touchdowns.
Oh, I mean,
yeah. Their team as a whole is just garbage.
Yeah.
Seven turnovers. How do you get seven turnovers in a game?
I'm saying. Santana Moss, two fumbles. Alfred Morris, two fumbles.
And then three picks from Kirk Cousins.
And threw a fumble in for good measure. You know, it's – this situation is just ugly because
– Do you see
– I am in agreement that – now, I don't know if I – sit RG3 the whole rest of the season, but I would pull like, dude, you've been sucking, and I'm gonna start to back up and see what happened. All at least I'm gonna sit you, and then if he sucks, you can come in. But I'm like, you don't need to start right now because you're playing bad.
Now we all know Shanahan BS'd his way and said it was for, you know, to get him ready for the offseason or whatnot so he comes in healthy. BS. We all know it was because he was whack. Now Shanahan has also come out and said that. I guess he's not going to resign, so he's intending to stay. Do you think he stays? Do you think Daniel Snyder is willing to keep him?
Daniel Snyder just don't want to pay him that money. But I'm like, you're going to have to pay his ass, even if he's there. Do you want to pay him to do a piss-poor job as coaching, or do you want to pay him and just be like, all right, I'm obligated, but here, I don't want to see you.
Exactly.
It's hard to bench him because we have had this argument where Geno Smith is like, well, this is your guy. Don't you want to know? But, I mean, he clearly is the franchise. I mean, they don't be talking about nobody else.
Exactly.
It is RG3 and the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. So he's coming back next year. He's locked in as a starter, even if Kirk Cousins balls out. If RG3 is healthy.
Well.
And he's playing boo-boo teams. It wasn't like, oh, you know, he got the Seahawks on schedule in the last three games. I'm like, dude, you play sucky teams.
So,
and you lost to Atlanta.
Yeah, and they're just trying to flip them. And I'm sure they're trying to make up grounds for the first round pick they don't have in this year's draft. That they gave.
I mean, you
St.
didn't think
Louis.
You would need it.
Hey, that's fine. This is why teams don't like trading them. Because when you put the investment in, when it doesn't work out, it don't work out. It looks bad.
Yeah, all I got to say for RG3 is if you sit out, you better come back like...
Yeah, seriously.
I'm 100%
you better come back like
healthy
rookie RG3.
Fit.
Yep.
I'm looking good in training camp. If the offense sucks, it's not my fault.
Yep.
But his team sucks. Like everybody said, let me put it all on RG3, Mike Shanahan.
Yeah.
Is it his fault that he got to put up 40 points because the fucking defense is trash?
Don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
I'm saying that's not right.
Yeah.
Well, Indiana done smashed Houston. Houston trying to get you some Teddy Bridgewater, baby.
12 straight.
How many of this game would Case Keenum with a pick, like five straight games with a pick.
Hey,
and now starting that trend again.
And now they about to play Denver's offense. Holy bananas.
After Denver then took that L.
Oh boy. You know Peyton Manning was a little ticked. Sure, he was pissed off and like, all right, we gotta get this in order. And Oh,
I'm sorry. Eddie Lacy, 1 yard touchdown run. Green Bay up 37-36.
Oh, how much time is left?
Minute and a half.
Yes, yes, yes. So, for all y'all who watch First Take, let's just go ahead and call it. Stephen A. Smith will have nothing to say if Dallas loses this game. What more can he say? He's crucified them enough. And Skip Bayless, Lord help you.
Hey, big win by the St. Louis Rams.
Smashing them. Hey, we've said that NFC West, man, is for real.
Yeah,
they
man.
Are serious. All four teams are serious.
They defense, you going in there, they be shutting defenses down.
They shutting everybody down. I'm like, man.
Eddie Lacy. I'm starting to forget. Who was they starting? Darrell Richardson? We forgot about him because Eddie Lacy, 28 carries, 133 yards, and a touchdown.
For Eddie Lacy?
No, sorry. For Zach Stacy.
Oh, Zach Stacy.
I'm saying that.
Hey.
Zach Stacy.
Hey, man. Beast. A nice diamond in the rough for them in the draft.
Do you trade Darrell Richardson now? Or you just keep both of them?
Keep both of them. Darrell Richardson be your change of pace. And
he basically is demoted over Zach Stacy.
You daggum right. The way Zach Stacy's been playing this season, you can't take him out. He has earned the starting job.
Yep.
Clearly. So, and they have the luxury of having probably a top five pick from Washington. They're going to be better.
If they get the number one pick.
They taking Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Or no, they flipping it.
If they get it.
They flipping it for another first round pick next year.
If they get a top three pick.
They flipping
they
it.
They going quarterback.
They flipping it.
You think they flipping that pick?
They flipping it. They going to flip it. They going to flip it, drop down, and get another first round pick for next year.
Unless you get number one.
I think if they
get number one pick.
I think they would like to have Marcus Mariota. And I think with him going back to school, I think they look to trade it now.
But you're not going to be that high again. Because if you get a quarterback.
It depends. It depends on who you trade it to. Because, I mean, we all know the teams looking to move up probably aren't the best teams.
Right.
So you can probably still get a quality pick. Let's say, for instance, the Cleveland Browns team.
Of course, they'll get their pick.
History, and let's say a Raiders team. History says they're not that good. So, especially going in with a rookie quarterback you don't know. You know, yeah, I'm just throwing that out there. So yeah.
I think whoever gets the number one pick will probably keep it. However, if it's a two and below, and they got their own pick too, yeah. But for the Saints, I mean, this is a bad loss coming.
Yeah,
you know, Carolina beat up on the Jets. We are talking about Seattle just done stomped on the Giants. I mean, you fall behind.
Yeah. Carolina's ready to take that division and run with it. Hey, kudos to them. They were a team that was down initially in the beginning of the season. They have really bounced back, taken over the division, and they just walloped the Jets team today. That looks like they have no hope for the rest of the season. Geno Smith, God help you, son. They'll probably end up picking another quarterback next year. That's so terrible. It sucks to say that. It's the truth. That's how it goes nowadays. If one don't work out, we'll just draft one next year.
Yep. That's how it is.
So, there he'll probably be fighting for his job with another rookie next year, and maybe Mark Sanchez. I don't know, but
yeah, like you said, with the Raiders, I mean, fucking Jamal Charles. You know, we was having doubts. We was having doubts when Andy Reid came. You're like, all right, you gonna run the ball? You gonna start airing it out, dude? No more questions needed.
I'm just going to throw this out there. Please, everybody, relax. Is it okay to say that Jamal Charles is the best running back in football ahead of Adrian Peterson? Given the fact that Jamal Charles can also catch the ball better than Adrian Peterson. Jamal Charles can catch and has a grip of catches this year and has always been a very good receiver. Adrian Peterson, yeah, he's a great running back, but his hands, eh.
I don't know, because Adrian Peterson is a dude that you just...
Jamal Charles' career average is almost 6 yards a carry. Almost 6 yards a carry for his career. Yeah, that's stupid.
I'm looking at the stats.
And he's 5'11", 200 pounds.
8 carries for 20 yards and a touchdown. What? And I look down, like, 8 receptions, 195 yards, 4 TDs. Like, damn.
That's what I'm saying. He's small in stature.
He definitely is in the top three.
There's no question about that. He's top. He's the second best if he's not the best. He's number two.
And he's put on.
But I'm like, Adrian Peterson is 6'1", 220.
Adrian Peterson just all day.
But I'm like, Jamal Charles, 5'11", 200 pounds, killing cats constantly, had a torn ACL just like Adrian Peterson did. And now it's just... is putting on an absolute clinic in Andy Reid's offense.
I don't know if I can put him as number one.
And but averages 6 yards a carry for his career. That's unreal. Averaging almost 6 yards for your career.
That is ridiculous.
Considering the amount of carries he's had in his career, that's insane. That's insane. That is ridiculous. He deserves, along with Peyton Manning, but then Tom Brady went on it. He deserves to be in the MVP talk, without question.
Yes,
I know Peyton Manning. I know Peyton Manning is probably going to get it, but Jamal Charles definitely deserves a vote or two and needs to be in the discussion.
No,
because
he has.
My God,
especially after today's game.
My God, now he ridiculous, and the Raiders. The Raiders. They can't
they
get
suck.
It. They are awful.
They suck.
God, man.
The end. That's how it feels like. And the Raiders, yeah. So, yes.
Moving on. I feel so bad for the...
Darren McFadden gone.
Yeah, Darren McFadden's gone. They got Rashad Jennings, who's pretty good. Matt McGloin, he's a backup. I mean, receivers, they don't really have any. Tight end, they ain't got one. Their offensive line is suspect. Their defense is clearly terrible. They allowed 7 touchdowns from Nick Foles, and now you got damn near 6 touchdowns from Jamal Charles. Peyton Manning's going to have a field day come the last game of the season. He might throw for 8. It's going to be ugly. And it's for the Raiders, Dennis Allen, former defensive coordinator of the Broncos. I'm sorry, sir. Your time is up. I know it's only been 2 years, but they're going to move on.
All right, so who you got? Who you like in the night game?
Who we got tonight? We got
Cincinnati. Pittsburgh. Ooh, I know.
Ooh, the division.
Divisional game. Both teams need this W. Everybody been playing well for Cincinnati. Fanny Dawn.
I got to go with history. History says Pittsburgh going to win. Mike Tomlin, I'm sure, has his team fired up. I'm sure these guys are ready to roll. We all know the controversy that they had last time we spoke with the whole Baltimore Ravens situation. So they've had some bad karma come their way with the concussion, the helmet off rule that cost them a touchdown and the win. We had the Mike Tomlin situation. So, I mean, they haven't had the best karma, so I look for them to be ready and focused. I know they're still in the fight to try to get that last spot in the playoffs. Andy Dalton, not really sold on him. And where's the game? Is it at Pittsburgh?
Yes, at Pittsburgh.
Oh, I'm really not sold on Andy Dalton at Pittsburgh. I'm like, if it was at home, I'd give him a little bit more of a shot. Now, no. Pittsburgh's winning the game, period.
Cincinnati should win the game because they had the most talent, but it does.
It feels like Pittsburgh going to win.
Especially because it feels like Cincinnati needs this win. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh at home, like.
Cincinnati can't win in the playoffs anyway. They always lose. They always find a way to lose.
I think I'm leaning towards Pittsburgh.
It got to. History says it. History tends to repeat itself.
And Monday night, you got Baltimore at Detroit. Big stage for Detroit.
This is it. This is Matt Stafford's opportunity to showcase himself and let it be known that he is one of the better quarterbacks in the league. He's erratic at times, but he reminds me a lot of Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler has just won a game.
You know, so it's tough, and they got the division. It looks like Green Bay may pull it out today, too. And if that happens, you definitely need to win. And I'm like, you got Megatron. We all know Matt Elam's, Elam from Baltimore came out, called Calvin Johnson old. I'm like, dude, he's 28. He's my age. How's he old? He's old. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe in football years, I guess, because he's taking a pounding. But I love Calvin Johnson. Talking about the only way the guy's going to see me is me running past him in the backfield. And I'm like, that's for sure. Because I'm like, all I got to say for you, young man, don't get burnt by Calvin Johnson, because you will never hear the end of it. All you're giving them is fire. You're adding fuel to the fire, dude. Can't do that.
Here we go.
Yep.
Here we go. It's official. They Dallas have lost. Choked.
Oh, my God.
Now they're Packers 7-6-1. Detroit, you need this W, or you're going to fall to third in the division. Oh, my God.
The Dallas Cowboys lost? Wow. This is why I have always said Tony Romo ain't top 10. Top 10 quarterbacks, don't let this happen. Not this, being up 31 to like 6. You are no. This no. Means
your defense is
garbage.
Trash.
Yeah. Jerry Jones, don't you dare give Monty Kiffin a stroke of a.
Yeah. What you got to say now?
Yeah. Terrible. He is fired at the end of the season.
You can say I believe in him.
No.
We'll see what happens till the end of the season.
He's going at the end of the season.
You don't need to say I
endorse him.
He's going to be back next year. I don't know what's right.
No,
like,
he's
fired.
The way
this team is playing, I don't know what's going to happen.
He's fired.
That's why you have a GM, so you ain't got to talk. God.
Jerry.
Maybe you need to stem it. Oh, well. I know we like.
Oh, my God. Like I said, if the Cowboys don't win this division, Jerry Jones needs to fire himself. It is getting that time, Jerry. The seat's getting hot. It's time to let yourself go. Step down. Hire a GM. Something. Let your son take over. Do something, man, because once again, the ass Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys, blow it again. Having a clear opportunity to take a division lead, Philly gets smacked by Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they choke the game away. Golly.
Yeah, we.
I got no words. I don't even know what to say. There's nothing I can say. Dallas did it again.
I hate to be Tony Romo coming out of that locker room.
History, like I just, didn't I just say, history tends to repeat itself. We just saw it. History just repeated itself. They shot themselves in the foot again.
Sorry, Cowboy fans. This is going to be
This is going to sting.
You, if you talk a lot of shit,
this is going to sting. How I felt when that Baltimore Hail Mary bomb to beat Denver in the playoffs. This is going to be like that a little bit.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
None of the players. Don't listen to no Dallas sports radio.
I want
to
hear Jerry Jones. I want to hear Jerry Jones. Now, Jerry, I want to hear you talk. Now I want to hear him speak. When shit has hit the fan, now I want to hear him talk. Because he called out Tony Romo, said he got to improve in December. We ain't looking too improved in December. So, Jerry, come on out to speak. I want to hear everything you got to say now. I really do. I really, really do. God, I hope they show him saying something after the game. I want to hear what he says. Stand behind nobody. Lash out, Jerry. Let it be known you are pissed. Do not accept this mediocrity. Demand excellence.
Yeah, I got to watch the game because I'm already looking. DeMarco Murray had 18 for 134 in a touchdown. Dez Bryant, 1,153 in a touchdown. Tony Romo, 358 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. But it's just with the defense. Deep Cowboys, Redskins. Who got the shittiest defense? Let's go. Let's compete.
This is embarrassing. Like. This is flat out embarrassing. I don't even know. I have no words for Dallas. I have no words.
So who you like? Dallas. Who you like tomorrow? Between Baltimore and Detroit.
I know, right? Dallas.
Pressure's on you, Detroit, and you might do the same thing.
Yeah, Dallas. I mean, Detroit's looking like
Dallas from a different division.
No, I wouldn't.
I could see Baltimore winning that game on Monday.
But I think Detroit's going to pull it out. I think Matt Stafford. And these boys are ready to roll. We already got Baltimore giving them bullets and board material. I think they're ready to roll. And I think they want to, think they're ready to prove people wrong, prove the doubters wrong. And because I sure as hell am a doubter. So I'm going to roll with you, Matt Stafford. Get it going and win.
Hit some quick joints before we get out of here. Mac Brown,
that he's stepping
down, coach of Texas.
Mac Brown has had a very good career at the University of Texas as head coach.
Yes.
He should be appreciated. All this talk on, and he should be respected. All the crap coming out about him resigning, I'm like, yeah, maybe he was, but I'm like, out of respect for this man, can you like let him resign on his own? Instead of everybody just coming out, yeah, he resigned, and then interviewing him when he's trying to recruit. So, he's coming out, I'm trying to recruit right now. But, of course, he doesn't want to just come out and say it. He wants to go out on his own terms. Let the man do it. So, he finally did. You know, he's had a great career. I don't know if he's going to coach again. I'm not sure. But, I mean, to be fair, Texas hasn't been a great school. The last time I remember Texas really being a great, great football team was when they went to the Rose Bowl against USC when Vince Young was there.
That was it.
That was the last time they've been on top. So they have had mediocrity over the past few years. So I understand the AD's reasoning.
Can't really do that at Texas.
And you know, out of respect for Mac Brown, I'm sure they didn't want to fire him and just say you're fired. So of course he resigned. And you know, he had a great career. He can go wherever he wants. He can go wherever he wants. He has great prestige. I mean, he had a great relationship with the players. They didn't end on bad terms. He didn't diss the school or anything like that. So he's a great dude, and I'm sure we'll see him pop up again. Hey, who knows? There's openings around.
Yeah. No, he'll find one wherever he wants to go. He can go to any top program. He can just wait it out and see when the top program
is. I wonder if USC was like, fuck.
Oh, you know they were. You know they were.
We should have waited.
I've heard some people like, that probably wouldn't have been the best. And I'm like, yeah, but you're going to try anyway. Yeah. USC is a top five program in terms of we don't like losing.
I'm like, dude, this is a guy who coached in Texas, which is like probably the highest demand of football in the country.
Yeah.
And was able to be successful. Yeah, he's a great recruiter. I'm like, hell yeah, he'd be a great fit down here.
I was expecting him to maybe take a year off and then come back when there's probably. Because now if he's out, all these good programs are going to be like, yep, you on the clock, coach.
Yep.
And if you suck, we're going out to Mac Brown.
And to add on to, I am finally glad that Nick Saban crap to Texas is over with. Yeah. Oh, he going to Texas? Is he going to Texas? $10 million. Like, oh, okay, fine. He signed an extension. Thank God. Because I heard that story came out. I was like, well, he's had a contract that's been sitting on his desk for a while, and he just ain't signed it. Like, can dudes do things on their own terms? Yeah. Do I have to sign right now?
Yeah, maybe he wanted to play hardball. I mean, but
he wanted to get his
clearly
money.
Clearly, if Texas is like, we want you, you can be like, I can go Texas.
Thank you. He got the leverage.
Right. Yeah, brought you three championships in the last 4 years. I'm the best coach in football right now.
But then prior to it coming out, I did read that AJ McCarron said Nick Saban told him he was going to stay. And the kind of guy AJ McCarron is, I'm sure he wasn't lying. You know, I figured he was telling the truth. So I was like, okay, he's going to stay. Then he came out with the contract extension. So I was like, okay, he stayed. Well, I mean, which he should. He's king of Alabama. He doesn't have to. He ain't got to do nothing for the rest of his life. His kids' kids are good for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. I mean, granted, it would seem like you'd probably have more to do
in
Austin, Texas.
But, I mean, let's be real. He probably has a private jet. The man can go wherever the fuck he wants to go easily. So it's not like he's hindered from going and traveling anywhere he wants. He can do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm. You know, he anything. Said, like, I just wanted to be here. And he'll be here a while, you know, but as with Nick Saban, you kind of like, yeah, we've heard that before.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving the Dolphins.
I'm going to Alabama.
Right. And like,
I'm telling you, that's Rick James. I look like stepping on them fools' couches. No, I ain't stepping on them couches. Yeah, I remember stepping on them niggas' couches. Like,
okay.
When the MLB team at the league is banning home plate collisions.
When I heard that, I almost was like, I was just like, oh, baseball's trying to get stupider and more boring. I'm like, they're taking away all the excitement from the game. I'm like, now we can't have home plate collisions. You realize Pete Rose and his home plate collisions is one of the greatest plays of all time in baseball history, and now we can't have a collision. Why?
It's all safe.
Why? So I have to ole and let him go? Well, or I can tag him. Well, he just can't run into me.
To me, basically what it means is that, okay, you're not going to have any home plate really challenges. Because you're like, unless the dude happens to drop the ball, if I run, so basically if I run, I have to slide feet first.
Basically.
Or like, yo, he's got the ball. Okay, I can't try to knock it out. I'm just tagging him out.
What the hell is baseball doing? It seems like at least some of the sports, you know, your basketball, you know, football, you know, even hockey to an extent, at least try to adapt to the culture around them, you know, to the generation and the times. Baseball is still stuck in the 50s. Like, I don't know what's going on. They're making the game even more. And this is why kids don't want to play baseball. Because it's boring. Now I can't even run into the catcher. That was honestly for some of these kids that want to play baseball, that was one of the things they probably enjoyed. Like, oh, cool. And I get an opportunity to, you know.
Yeah, the catcher's padded up.
Thank you.
And I thought that was one of the things of playing, being the catcher. It's like he can come and truck you. Now,
so now my question is with the catchers, since we ain't got to worry about collisions anymore, do they have to wear all that fucking equipment?
I guess it's just to protect them from getting hit by the ball afterward. But other than that, I'm like, yeah, you're not – ain't nobody – trucking you. Ain't nobody coming at you like head first.
That takes so much of the excitement out of the game. You see these bang bang plays where the guy comes home and he got the collision, and sometimes you see the catcher comes up, yeah, got it. Sometimes he loses it and they win the game. It's a great moment in baseball, and now it's gone.
Because it does feel like, all right, say when you're actually I can see if the guy gets it and you can tell like the runner is way close to third base and you're like, okay.
Yeah, and he just intentionally just knocks him out and trucks him. Yeah.
But if it's
would say call him just out automatic.
But if he's like two steps away from the plate.
But yeah, like if he and the ball simultaneously get there at the same time.
How's he supposed to just dive? The catcher gets to just block the plate like he always has. And you just
wait, he can block the plate still?
That's what it seemed like to me. I don't know if they can. But
that doesn't make any sense.
I haven't seen them not block it. I could be wrong, but
whatever.
That
would be the dumbest thing ever. You can still block it, but you just can't. You can't run into me. Then how the hell am I supposed to touch the plate?
Do like some movie magic. I'm gonna jump over.
Exactly. You. On Major League.
Hop over you.
Well,
tag it with my hand. Like, all right. Come on.
Bud Selig, get it together, man. Get it together. Right? And then he had a nice deal. Angels getting rid of Mark Trumbo.
I was.
Hey, White Sox got
Mark Trumbo supposed to be?
White Sox got Adam Eaton. Holla.
I was like, y'all are going to be stuck with Josh Hamilton and fucking
Albert Pujols.
Yep. And you're going to lose Mike Trout. No, you can't pay him. Dudes.
Yep.
So, I figured they would have built around Trumbo and Trout.
But, you know, it is what it is. They seek young pitching. Got that as part of the three-team deal with the White Sox and the Diamondbacks. So they're banking on potential as opposed to, you know, production, I should say. Mike Trout is clearly a power hitter. He is a home run hitting threat. So, like I said, they're banking on the potential of these young arms they got from one from Arizona, one from the White Sox, to see if they pan out. From what I know, you know, from the cat from the White Sox they got, he's okay. Hector Santiago, he's all right. I mean, but, you know, young dude showed some things last year. But, I mean, we weren't that good of a team. So, I mean, will he do better in, you know, a place like L.A. with the environment? They kind of have a winning environment, even though they did suck last year. But for the most part, they have a winning history here. So, I mean, maybe he'll do better. You know, they do tend to turn out good pitching. So, who knows? You know, they may get it together. But, yeah. I mean, Diamondbacks clearly the best one, the winners of this trade. Yeah. I mean, they got a power hitter for their team now. Gave up a young center fielder to the White Sox, who they acquired, Adam Eaton. So, you know, they clearly won. They didn't give up too much, and they got a clear future all-star. For their team, so Kudos.
And shouts out to Jameis Winston winning the trophy. Yep. Everybody knew he was going to win after like week three.
The one thing, though, and I'm sure we're going to hear about it on First Take, Johnny Manziel was fifth. I was not expecting that. He was fifth. I was like, wow. Because I'm looking, I'm like, okay, Jameis Winston got first by a clear margin.
Oh, yeah.
Then you had AJ McCarron came in second. I was like, okay, good for AJ because I pull for him. I like him. I think he's really going to be a solid starter in the league. Then you had Jordan Lynch, cat from Northern Illinois, quarterback. Hey, he's good too. He ran for 1,000-some-odd yards and threw for like 3,000 yards. Another good player. Probably not going to be a quarterback at the next level, though, just because, you know, we all know how that goes. And then you had Andre Williams from Boston College, running back. Put up 2,000-some-odd yards, had a great season. Reminds me a little bit of LaDainian Tomlinson when he played. So I think he can be a pretty good back at the next level. Then you had Johnny Manziel. And it was like, oh, okay. So, I mean, I guess with his team losing, you know, losing these last few games, that gave cats a little bit of reason to shy away from him, especially given the offseason he had with the issues that he had. You know, I'm sure that shot him down the board a little bit. But, I mean, for the most part, I mean, clearly, Jameis Winston was the best player in college football. No question about it. No question. And, I mean, you got to give it to AJ McCarron. He led his team. Had it not been for that miracle play, they would be playing for the championship.
Yep.
So, I mean, you got to give some love to AJ McCarron. And, you know, for the rest of them, I mean, whatever. Right. But we knew who was going to win. He won by like 100-something votes. Yeah. Like, he far and away won.
Largest vote different margin. You know, he's the youngest guy to win it. And then reading that, he was actually left off of 115 ballots off of 900. I'm like, well, he did have that drama, but mm-hmm. It was like, damn, 115?
Crazy.
Damn. I was like, so clearly that just lets you know that they take
character very seriously.
If you get in trouble, that's
why Johnny fell all the way down as much as he did.
Probably so.
And AJ McCarron is squeaky clean.
Yeah.
So.
And, of course, we got to mention the Happy Hour Fantasy Football League. We are down to week 15.
Woo-wee.
Semis.
Say what?
Yeah, go ahead.
Any of you okay?
Jonathan, as the number 5 seed, Blazers upsetting K-Town Killers, 157-20 to 143-26. And you still got one guy left.
Oh, say what now? Somebody dropped like 160 on him. Didn't I tell y'all? If y'all want to win, y'all got to listen to me now. I'm telling you, I'm trying to lead y'all to the way, to the promised land. I'm about to be in the championship next week in both my leagues. Holla. What's happening?
Yeah, that's all I can do is
what's
just breathe.
Happening?
I'm mad.
Oh, I'm so happy.
The other game. Boumaye is trouncing T-Money, 153-62 to 74-72. That's pretty much done.
And for those of y'all who do listen into the show, you've probably heard him. Demetrius, who's been on the show before. Looks like it's going to be he and I for the championship round. Back. Let's get it cracking, son. I hope you're listening to this, son. I hope you're listening, son, because I'm going to give you that ass whooping. I'm going to ask you how it tastes afterwards. Holla.
Boumaye coming back for the second straight victory in this league. Back to the championship win again. All right. It's going to be a battle.
Yes, it is. Let's get it cracking.
We want to thank y'all for tuning into the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. Y'all know y'all can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Any other place you guys listen to podcasting. You can also find us on our homepage, www.blackisonline.com. You can leave us comments there. Leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. You can even leave us a comment on Stitcher. Let us know what you think. If y'all want to reach us, talk to us specifically. Let us know about how you feeling about your squads. Are you confident? Are you feeling like they suck? Or you just want to vent, talk to us, whatever. Hit us up, brotherslayman@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Leave a voicemail for us, 323-455-4219.
We definitely appreciate y'all listening. And from the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan. We'll be giving it to you strong, and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla!
For your protection, we'll sit in the hall, be set. Yo. This here's hard body built to bang. Disclaimer from Belgium to Spain. You rappers fella understand. When O's in a zone, leaning pen to the pad, nothing's cathartic. Figuring the beat out, I get a readout. It's like car networkers reading the meters. Watts being used, blow a fuse in speakers. In my vicinity, a skull and bones, meaning it's off limits. Someone approved that balls is bigger. I'm the round table topic over sips of crown royal at a Geneva convention. They freeze when I enter, my pass is all access. There's no batting me down or searching through my knapsack. Bad idea, scratch that. Hold a type of power to a lot. Orders provide them a keyword to a site and cause riots. Yeah, tonight's stance taken. I permit it, call it bias. Hip hop is in the building. No security can stop me. Make a note of it.
For your protection, go sit in the RV section for discussion. For your protection, go sit in the RV section for discussion. For your protection, go sit in the RV section for discussion. For your protection, go sit in the RV section for discussion.
Few sustain a 17-year reign in the game without embarrassing themselves looking lame. My cause and effects, the butterfly effect. I tear a hole in time, rearrange and fix this mess. If I could, but I can't though. What is written so. All I can do is fill the spaces that's missing.
Listen,
I'm part guilty for the things that are filthy. Owning up to my mistakes by any means to make millions. Till I got a wake-up call, reminded almost slept too long. The gift I was given, it broke my fall. Funeral home, scene of a fall. Making sure competition laid the rest as they love once more. Plotting behind closed doors, strapped with suicide bombs intact, ready sacrifice in the name of rap. Diligent, teetering past the lines of being militant. Gats, I'm pillin' them. Magazines, I'm refilling them. Get a head start.
For your protection, go sit in the